Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today we have Ari Mizell joining us. Ari is the founder of Less Doing, More Living, how to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in your life and business in order to be more effective. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel overwhelmed in your life? Do you feel as if you have lists that have lists, which have lists? I deal with people every day who come to me for coaching because of this sense of overwhelm, and we deal with it on a personal level. Ari is the other side of the coin. The importance of productivity and optimization in your life on a practical level. Ari and I were chatting, and he has so many high valuable things to offer. First of all, he corrected me right away, and I know it to be true. You don't just throw an app at the solution. Many people think, I have a sense of overwhelm. Let me just get the latest technology and get it done. He explains why that is not the way to approach it. If you are somebody who is overwhelmed, you will love this episode, and you probably want to check him out. He has everything from virtual assistants to courses. He's written several books, I think seven. I can't even keep track. He has a podcast. He has a boot camp. There's so many incredible things to do. And all the while, he's somehow been able to do all these things and only work 3 days a week so he can be home with his four children, all under the age of 5 or 6. So tune in today, learn a lot about how to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in your life. Ari was so fun to have on the show. And thank you so much for listening. Welcome to this week's interview. Today we have Ari Mizell on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Ari is joining us from New York City. Is that right?
That is correct.
How's the weather out there today in Chicago? It's like a 95 degrees.
It's supposed to be in the 90s today, but right now it's kind of gloomy.
Yeah, we're having a late summer heat wave here. Well, I'm super excited to have you on the show today because Ari is somebody that specializes in helping people who are stressed, overwhelmed, have a ton of things going on, do more, but have less stress in their life and keep their lives moving on. And I'm really excited to hear all of your, you know, solutions and options. But first of all, this came to you as a concept in part of your own struggle with a chronic illness. Is that right? Like, how did you come across this idea of doing more and having less stress and getting back to life?
Yeah, so this definitely was, it's been almost 9 years ago now. I think I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is a chronic inflammatory condition that affects the digestive tract. And I want to apologize to all your listeners because, yes, I am in New York and there's New York City background noise that no window seems to be able to stop. So anyway, I was working in construction before that, and I was working very hard, long days, and very stressed. I was in a lot of debt, and I broke my body. And so I was diagnosed with Crohn's. I got really, really sick, really quick, and very weak, and went from working these like 18-hour days to working an hour a day because that was all I could muster, basically.
Mm.
So that's not something that you can just do, right? You can't just make that kind of a shift without something changing. So I realized that I'd have to figure out some way to get more done in that time. So that was sort of the inkling of where it started. But then it was pretty quickly in the process that I realized that stress was a huge component of my illness and the inflammation that was causing it. So it became a much bigger sort of productivity mentality and framework in terms of how we approach the work that we need to do in terms of being more efficient so that we can regain control and stress less. I really believe that control is the antidote to stress in most situations. And I deal with people every day who tell me that they feel overwhelmed. And a lot of overwhelm comes from that lack of control and lack of awareness of what's happening in their life.
I could not agree with you more. I deal on the other side, which is more people's sense of overwhelm from life and the thoughts in their head. But we often get to these ideas of productivity. But, you know, I've got a tenth of the solutions that you do. So for that person who's feeling overwhelmed, who feels a lack of control, their lists have lists, which have lists. What are some things that they could do today to simplify their lives? I know you've got a bunch of apps that you really believe in. Could you list a few of your favorite ones and explain them?
Well, yes, I can. But before you get to apps, there's you know, the problem with technology is that it will basically amplify any habits that you currently have. Mm. So if you have good habits, it will make them better. And if you have bad habits, it will make them exponentially worse. So unfortunately, that's a really bad approach to just say, look, I'm going to get this app. And how many times have you heard somebody be like, oh, I have 10,000 emails, but this weekend I'm installing SaneBox and it'll be fine. Like it just doesn't work that way. You have to have a different mentality first.
Okay, that's what I do, so I believe in that. So tell me what you mean.
Okay, so the first thing is the overarching framework for Less Doing is that I teach people how to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in their lives. So what does that mean? Optimization is, well, even before that, a lot of people will skip to the outsourcing step. And the problem with doing that is that if you outsource an inefficient task, it does not make it more efficient, almost ever. And a lot of times it will actually make it worse because you're transferring something that you may have some knowledge of to somebody who doesn't and asking them to do it. And so it's just that pipe will back up. So we have to start with optimization. With optimization, what I'm really talking about is a little bit of self-tracking and awareness. So we have to stop and actually look at what the problem is. And I know that sounds simple, but a lot of people just don't do it. So we have to stop and say, what is this challenge? Like, what is causing me to do this thing where I have to do social media, or I'm hiring somebody, or firing, or paying bills? Like, what does that process actually look like? And everything we do, whether it's repetitive or not, and the repetitive ones are easier, is a process. So stopping, looking, seeing how we're doing that, how we're doing the things we're doing. And then also how we're spending our time, our money, our energy, geographically, like where we, I mean, you can track anything you do nowadays, literally anything,
yeah,
with usually free or cheap tools.
So, I mean, I ran a company for 15 years and I totally get it. I mean, delegation, tasking something off to somebody else can sometimes be a disaster because if you don't have it organized. So do you mean tracking it, writing it down, proceduralizing? What do you mean there?
So, yes, you want to proceduralize whatever you can, but sometimes it's just awareness. So there's an app, so now we're going to talk about an app. So there's an app I've recommended forever, which is called Rescue Time, because it's very simple. It just sits on your computer and it will tell you, it'll sit in the background and it'll watch how you're using your computer. And then at the end of the day and the end of the week, it'll tell you you're spending 10% of your time on email, although it's usually higher, 20% of your day on Facebook and 10% on YouTube and whatever it is. And that becomes really actionable information because then you can say, wow, I'm spending 16 hours a week on email, and that's not an unusual number. And then be like, that's a lot of time you're spending on email. Maybe I can get more efficient on email. And then suddenly they're at 4 hours a week on email and they've regained 12 hours just like that. Yeah.
So that's
one example. But then, yes, once you say like, okay, this is how we currently pay our bills. You know, we identify the vendor and we decide which account it's going to come from. And then we have this amount and there's an invoice with this information on it. And so that's a whole process that you can then write out, and then you move on to the next step. So what the optimization is that first step, which is the identification. The second step is automation. And when I started this business and this philosophy, you know, 7 years ago now, basically, I would give these talks and I would say that we can automate things now that 6 months ago a person had to do. When I give that talk today in 2016, that's like, we can automate things that a month ago a human being had to do.
Yeah.
And we can do it for free. And it's infinitely scalable. You know, it's like these amazing things that we've been able to do. So we look at automation second. So you look at the process, you look at that list, you look at the whatever the procedures are, whatever you're going through, and identify the areas that can be automated. And this isn't an all or nothing kind of thing with productivity and efficiency. It's really, you know, chipping away and chipping away and chipping away until it's not part of your life or your business.
Yeah.
So we automate what we can. And whether that means, you know, automating social media posting or automating how something's paid or automating background checks for hiring applicants, like whatever that process would look like, automate whatever you can. Sometimes you can automate all of it. And whether that you can do that with off-the-shelf tools or some custom programming, it's all very accessible. Now, at that point, if there's anything left over that's left from optimizing and automating, that's the first time ever that you should be looking at outsourcing it to some sort of specialist or generalist of some sort. So a generalist being like a virtual assistant and a specialist being maybe a graphic designer, an audio video person. So what happens is they get a task, they get a project that is efficiently packaged for them to do what they do best. They get to do what they do best, which makes everybody happy, and the work product is better.
Got it. So what if you have a part of your business where you just can't figure out how to organize it, right? Like you're just, this isn't your thing. Like a lot of entrepreneurs, for example, you know, they're trying to do everything from HR to IT to, right? There's all these different components. They're not good at some piece. What do you do then? What if you can't figure out how to proceduralize it?
Well, who can't figure it out, them or me?
Yeah, no, right. The person owning the company. Would you then come in and do a one-on-one to help them figure it out?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different offerings. We do have a virtual assistant company. We have the highest trained, best productive project management virtual assistant providers in the world, and they're all trained by me. So we have actually created like an actualized version of Less Doing, so people can just sign up and have us do most of that for them, if not all of it, including creating the procedures themselves and automating them, optimizing them, and outsourcing them.
Got it.
But we also do business consulting now too, so we can come into a business and take a holistic look at how they're communicating, how they're managing projects, the processes that they're automating or that they should be automating, and how they can sort of plug in human capital at the end to outsource what needs to be outsourced. So, and I love doing that because every time I hear somebody tell me like, oh, no, everything I do, I have to do myself. Well, then you're in the wrong business.
Yes.
And you're also limiting yourself severely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to the phase of my company and I wish I knew you. I always tell people this was the absolute hardest part of growing our company from zero to a sale was the part where I had to delegate it out. I figured it all out the hard way, and it really can hamstring your company to the point that you can't grow. You can't get yourself to the next level. So if you are starting a podcast, if you have a blog site, if you want to build a website, you guys take care of all of those different facets. You could come in and work on a piece or all of it, consult on the whole thing, or just optimize some component. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And podcast production is something we do a lot of, like a lot of that.
That's awesome. And what don't you do? Is there an area where you say, you know what, that's just not our expertise?
We have not, in over 2,500 tasks that we've been assigned and done, we have not said no to anything except for one that was illegal. So we really pride ourselves on being able to do anything, which is a bold thing for us. And it was a big risk in the beginning. But basically, we have a great team now. We can do, I'd say, 80% of the tasks that come in, we can do them in-house. And if we can't, then we know where to go to get the person that can do it. And we basically become the outsourcer of outsourcing. So that one-stop shop for everything.
And say I'm like thinking about this, listening to this podcast, and you know, it sounds amazing. You have one-on-one coaching, boot camps, VAs, this, you know, several courses. I don't know how many books you have. How do I decide which product is right for me?
Well, we do offer free consultation calls, so people can go to talktoldva.com and they can sign up for one of those if they wanted to. But generally speaking, the VA service is that sort of one-size-fits-all model, because not only do we provide the service, but we also offer unlimited coaching calls. So basically, our clients can get on a phone anytime with one of our VAs, and it's not billable time. It's part of their membership fee, and they can just sort of talk through the problem. So somebody might say, like, oh, I think that I should be marketing this on Pinterest. Like, what's the best way to do that? And they can talk through the best plan. And then if they want to go to work on that, then we start a task.
Got it. Very cool. And is this like for people who have functioning up companies, or do you think it's good for people who are starting out?
Oh, it's great for everybody, because if you start off on the right foot, then you're going to be scalable a lot faster and a lot easier, and removing yourself as the bottleneck.
Yes. Yeah. And what do you see as the most like common mistake that comes through after all of these 2,500 tasks, or what did you say? 2,500?
Yeah.
What's the thing that you see the most often that you'd say this is a common mistake people make?
With outsourcing is, well, one is having unrealistic expectations. So it's really kind of, it's almost amusing at this point when you have a client who's never done a website before, but somehow they know that this website should take 2 hours to do. You know, and they're very frustrated when that doesn't happen. So that's one thing. I think that like setting expectations is a really big one, and being very clear in your instructions. A lot of people also, like, it makes sense in their head, and somehow when they write it and it's total gibberish, it still makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's a very, very common problem. It's a common problem for entrepreneurs in particular, and I understand it. But you see that a lot where people, like, again, it makes sense in their head, but they don't convey it properly.
And what do you think that's about? Why do you think they're having trouble conveying it?
I mean, because entrepreneurs are visionaries. They're not necessarily communicators. If you think about like how, you know, they're not jokes, but like people sort of make all those comparisons about the symptoms of ADD and how it's basically describing entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So a lot of entrepreneurs, like, if you don't get it right away, they get very frustrated and they can't explain it to you and they don't want to explain it to you. It's like, oh, you don't get it. You know, like, so, and it's also a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've definitely been guilty of this myself, get very defensive about their own ideas.
Right, because this is something that's passionate to them and they want to believe in and to get it moving forward. Right, they don't want to hear negativity.
Basically, what I always think of, and what I always give example of people, I'm hoping you've seen Office Space, right?
Yes.
So the guy who's describing how he's the go-between between the engineers and the customers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Like, this is what I do. You know, it's like that's what we see a lot of.
I get that a lot.
And it usually requires me getting on the phone with a client and being like, okay, look, let's talk through this. And this is you know, we're all on the same team. We're wearing the same jersey. Like, let's just get this done together.
So I have a question for you. I mean, I totally get it. I'm a big fan of like optimizing. I swear to God, I should talk to you myself just to, you know, take it to the next level. But you have a podcast, you have all these books, you have courses, you have coaching. How do you really keep yourself from starting to feel that sense of overwhelm? I mean, that's a lot of stuff, Ari.
In the services we offer?
Yeah, you've got a big business going. I mean, is it really? I mean, how do you write 7 books and do a podcast and all these things and not get that sense of overwhelm? I mean, for people out there who are doing all these things, usually they're freaking out. It's just
you almost answer the question for me, because I'm doing the thing that I'm the best at, which is producing and curating content. I don't do any of the other stuff. I'm not writing that book. We used Book in a Box for our last book, and the one that's going to be coming out in about a month. My very first book was ghostwritten from a video of me talking for 2.5 hours.
Got it.
The podcast, I spend maybe 15 minutes having a really interesting conversation with my co-host and partner, Nick, and everything else is done for us. So
yeah.
I do all of those things because I'm just doing the one thing that I'm really good at and love doing.
So you have mastered the art of moving these things off your plate.
And otherwise I become the bottleneck, people and everybody, like, it just makes the whole process slow down for everybody. And I always take this very, very idealistic view, and this is not saying that my content is more important or particularly important per se, but I do believe that if you allow people to I truly believe that everybody on this planet has some sort of genius to offer to the world. And they're being blocked from doing so in most cases, either because they don't have the money, or they don't have the access, or they don't have the knowledge, or whatever it might be. And I think that if you remove as many barriers as possible, the world will be a better place. Now, again, I'm not saying that my podcast is the world a better place, but I think it contributes.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% believe in that. I think that's dead on. And what about somebody who, though, because to delegate and outsource some of this stuff, it costs money. How do you figure out, you know, there's a lot of arguments that one could make, well, I can't afford it yet, right? Like, when do you pull the trigger?
Well, so that's a good one, because if you can't afford it yet, like, what's going to magically happen in a month that's going to make it so that you can then afford to invest in your business? And what are you losing in that time that you haven't spent investing in your business?
Yeah.
So if you spend the next month, and I hate this term, I don't use that word very often, but I hate when people say they are heads down.
Why?
If you're guilty of that, I'm sorry. But
I know, I hear it all the time. I'm not guilty. I don't like it either.
I hate that. It's stupid. It's a stupid thing for somebody to say, because that means that A, you're not working efficiently, so you can't manage more than one thing at a time. B, you somehow think that putting yourself into a black box and then coming out in a month or two or something is going to produce some result that you, like, the world moves too fast right now. So to say that you're head down is the same thing as saying that it's not important to me.
What do you mean? How come that equates? Tell me more.
Not the thing that you're going head down for. Everything else. So if you say to somebody, look, we should talk about like our marketing strategy. No, we're head down right now. Okay, so it's not important to you. That's what you're saying. You know, you have to go to the doctor for your annual dermatology check. No, I'm head down right now. Okay, fine. Well, then it's just not that important to you. And, you know, or whatever it might be. So saying head down is a very, very easy excuse. And it's just the same as being busy to be busy.
Right. So people are thinking, well, I'm getting really focused on one thing and that will make me more productive. But your argument is, but everything else is getting dropped and that's ridiculous. If you did it this other way, you can keep all the balls moving and it's more effective.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, I just think that that's a cop-out, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, without proper optimization, most people are suffering from being all over and getting nothing done, right? Isn't that why people try to get this heads down thing going?
Yeah, but if you're in that situation, how do you know what you should be focusing on?
Right. You just pick something, all right? It's like at some point you're just like, I don't know, I got to do something, right?
Well, exactly. It's really easy for me to sit and code all day, so I guess I'll just do that and tell everyone I'm head down, and then it's okay. It's like declaring bankruptcy.
Right. I love this. It's true. And I hear this all day long. I mentor for entrepreneurs at the Chicago Innovation Exchange here at University of Chicago. And I hear this all day long. Like, I'm going heads down on this one thing. And I, I never understood how you keep the rest of your business afloat. And they'll come back to me and say, now I have 700 emails to get back to. And then I guess they have to heads down on the emails.
It's like basically saying, I don't, oh wait, is this an explicit podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's like saying, I don't know what the hell I'm doing right now, and I got to figure my shit out. So I'm putting my foot in my head down.
Right.
It's without running into like a whole list of metaphors, like it's like an ostrich putting its head in the sand, like all these things. I just hate it. And I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's like a total common buzzword right now. Like, and I think the sense is, well, at least I'm getting one thing finished, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's also, by the way, it's the same thing as saying that like perfectionism is the same as procrastination. It really is.
Perfectionism is the same as procrastination because people are like trying to dive in and do one thing.
No, because you're just never going to get it done. it's not perfect yet. It's not perfect yet. That's procrastination. I'm sorry. That's just procrastination.
Yeah. I love it. I agree with you. I think that's right. I think it's really, 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 I've never understood it. It's very trendy right now. And it's like, you're letting everything in your business go while you focus on one thing. I mean, what about your client calls? What about, right? Like it feels impossible to me. So if you're starting off and you don't have the cash, your point is, you know, there's really never going to be a time when you feel that you have the money to invest. So just, you know, at least do something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Start now. Start with the projects now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so starting now would mean, to be just totally clear, start by figuring out where you're spending your time and then start to proceduralize some of the things you do and then see how you can outsource them.
Yes, exactly.
So are you had mentioned that everybody has a specific genius. People do things that, you know, are core to their, you know, skill sets. This podcast is also about how to have a really successful life and feel like it has meaning and it feels authentic to you. What does it mean to you then to have an authentic life?
So I think that, first of all, I don't believe in a work-life balance, as people like to talk about. I think it's really about a work-life integration, especially as an entrepreneur. It's not like you magically come home and you're just like another person and you take off a uniform. Like, that doesn't typically happen that way.
Yeah.
So, and again, and also so my life, which is not the model for everybody to live, but like, I have four children. I officially work 3 days a week. I drop them off at school every day, and I pick them up from school every single day myself. And I'm with them a lot, and that is something very important to me. And I think that having work that you're passionate about, which supports life, a lifestyle that you want, is being authentic. So not being head down or doing what you think you're supposed to be doing, or also just, you know, like posting on Instagram about the things you're doing with your kids because that makes you look like a good parent.
Yeah.
You know, so it's none of that would be authentic to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have a crazy, crazy life. Like, there's nothing normal or like calm about our life ever. And I love it. And it's a ride, and it's definitely authentic. Every day is an adventure. So that's the authentic aspect of our life. But it's also really important, I think, for the people in your life to see you have a passion outside of them.
Mm.
Especially for children.
Mm.
So this is not like to say, I mean, I got to put this in the right words. Like, I would love to spend more time with my kids, and I would also love to do more work because I love both. So it really is a balance sort of every week. But it's also very important, I believe, for my kids, and they're all very young, but I do think it's important for them to see me getting gratification from things outside of the home.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And I'm really interested in this question for you specifically because we've talked about it. But one of the things that I see a lot is this inauthentic decision making because of stress, right? So stress gets really, really high. And then all of a sudden you're just jumping on opportunities or doing things because you feel you should. And, you know, it's like this impulsive thing. So how do you keep yourself from getting to that point outside the things we've discussed so that you keep your life going in the direction that you really want it to?
Sorry, just clarify that again. Say that again.
Yeah, how do you, when you're stressed out, when you're facing like, you know, maybe a difficult, fearful situation, you know, people sometimes make inauthentic decisions, right? They just panic and they choose things because they worry about, you know, the outcome, or they feel like some level of scarcity. How do you keep yourself from making decisions that move your life in a direction you're not happy with?
Well, I have a weird answer for you. I have to be honest. I would rather somebody make that decision fast and in a panic mode than not make it.
Mm.
I think that being decisive, especially with the pace of things that happen in the world, is one of the most important things we can do. Being decisive and sticking to that decision, not meaning being like pig-headed about it and just like, you know, I'm right no matter what, but stick with the decision until you're at another decision point. So if you make a decision and you made the quote-unquote wrong decision,
yep,
at least you're moving forward to be able to make another decision.
I got it.
At that point. And I think that stagnation is probably the worst thing that we could possibly do. I forgot who it was. It was some mathematician. I think his last name was Maxwell.
But basically, it was saying, like, if you're in a car and you're not driving forward and you just turn the wheel left or right, nothing happens. So it's a very similar thing. And I think that leads to more panic and more lack of control.
Very cool. Yeah, I totally get that. So the point is, if you make the decision and it's not going the direction, you just are constantly checking in, you'll make another decision to move on.
Well, and again, that's you taking control of the situation.
Yeah, totally, totally get that. And what are your daily practices outside of some of the things that you've mentioned in the podcast and habits to keep your life moving forward in a way that is meaningful to you?
So it's a tough one. So it's funny because everyone loves morning routines, and I'm all for morning routines if you can have one. I've had Hal Elrod on the podcast with Miracle Morning. Like, there's all this great research about morning routines. My morning routine is a weird one, or a different one, I guess. So everyone says don't check your phone or your email first thing in the morning. I think that's total bullshit. Because that just means that you don't have an efficient setup. So when I open my eyes, I have my phone within like 30 seconds. And about 6 minutes later, I've dealt with everything. I've dealt with all the emails that have come in the night before, any Slack messages, any message on an intercom or any Trello test. In about 6 to 7 minutes, I've cleared that all out. And then I've put some things in motion that probably will not come back to me for the next couple hours.
And then I deal with the children, whoever's up. And we have a 6-month-old, we have twin 3.5-year-olds, and a 4.5-year-old. So,
oh my God, dude.
It's a lottery which one's going to be up first.
Right. That is a gaggle of children. That's amazing.
Yeah, and especially now, school started yesterday. So now it's like everyone's got to get up, got to get fed, get dressed, get redressed. You know, we have two dogs that have to one has to go out, one has to go to the bathroom, feed everybody, like get everybody out the door, you know, deal with whoever's screaming and crying, and deal with the next one who's screaming and crying, and go. So my morning routine is basically 6 minutes of like getting some stuff figured out, and then 2 hours or so with my family, and then they go to school, and then I get to, and then my day starts.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then I work until it's time to go pick them up at school, and that's 3 days a week, by the way, the other two. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, my wife basically she gets to do what she needs to do, and I'm with the baby, which is great for me. So that's like the routine. However, right now, I am training for a boxing match in November. I've been boxing for years since I was in high school, and I'm going to have my first actual match in November. So now I'm training pretty hard for boxing. But again, like, so on Monday nights, I train at 10 o'clock at night for an hour and a half.
Wow.
So because that's when it works.
Yep. Yep.
So I have my trainer come at 10 o'clock. You know, and that's another thing. It's like, I don't have time to work out. I can't make it. Well, I'm doing it at 10 o'clock at night. That's how I make it work. So, and then Thursday nights, I actually fight somebody every Thursday. And I have to say, I love it. The fight club mentality is a real thing. Me getting hit or hitting somebody is extremely cathartic for me. So, you know, as much as people might expect me to recommend yoga and meditation, I prefer punching somebody in the face.
I love it. I love it. My partner would agree 100% with you. I'm the yoga meditation girl. But I have to tell you, Ari, like, I like adore you because you're the first person that's come on and is like, I have no morning routine. I don't do a morning routine either. I look at my cell phone and I've had a very successful life. I don't get
for
it.
For shame.
I know. Shame, right? And I just, for me, it is not the time when I want to do the things that, like yoga or something. I can't even move at that, you know, hour. And with kids, yeah, I'm right there with you. Listen, thank you so much for coming on today's show. You have been an absolute blast. So much great advice. If people are interested in contacting you, finding out more information, where can they find you?
Everybody should just go over to lessdoing.com. You can find the podcast, the blog, the books, the virtual assistant service, the consulting. Everything is right there on lessdoing.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Ari.
Thank you.